this morning. We give God's word its full authority in our hearts and our minds as we read from Psalm 121 this morning. A song of ascents. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. For the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Yes. Well, brothers and sisters, in June of 1980, as part of the soundtrack recording for the movie Urban Cowboy, country western singer Johnny Lee released a song that became an instant hit as a result of this movie. Looking for love in all the wrong places. In this song, Lee sings of the perils of a love-lost cowboy who, in his own words, wasted a lifetime looking for love in all of the wrong places. Now, the words of this song were written by Wanda Mallette, Bob Morrison, and Patty Ryan, and they depict for us a sort of desperation of the heart in this love-worn man. The man has searched literally everywhere for love. He's gone to singles bars. He's gone to places that are filled with the sweet eyes of strangers. He has even gone to the places where men go to pick up what are called good time lovers. Then, almost as if this sort of miracle happens, in the middle of the song, the man suddenly finds love. Love came knocking at the door of the man's heart, the song says, and for the first time, this love was everything he had ever hoped it could be. Now that sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, it sounds like the quintessential country song, right? There's a really telling passage in this song, right in the middle of the song, that gets straight to the heart of the problem of looking for love or help or support or really anything in all of the wrong places. Right in the middle of the song, we read these words. It says, "And I was alone then, no love in sight. And I did everything I could to get me through the night. Don't know where it started or where it might end. I turned to a stranger, just like a friend." I turned to a stranger, just like a friend. There is a great danger, brothers and sisters, when we throw caution to the wind, and in desperation we seek the answers of love and friendship and help and support anywhere we can find it. In some way, we to know, right, that the idea of finding help or love or support from just about anywhere, we've got to know that if we go looking for these things just about anywhere, and we have absolutely no idea where we're going to find it, or where it might end, we've got to know that it's going to lead us down the wrong path. So many folks just don't care, right? They couldn't care less about the consequences in that moment when they make these kinds of decisions. Remember, by the way, in this song, what drove the man to turn to a stranger just like a friend? He said, I was alone then. There was no love in sight. You see, loneliness, it causes us to do things we would not otherwise do. It's a powerful and terrible emotion. In our loneliness, we often seek comfort or assurance or relationship. Wherever it is, we can find it. The easier the comfort comes for us, the quicker we are to seek it out. Loneliness hurts us. It hurts our hearts. And so, rightfully, we go astray. But in most every situation, loneliness is not fixed by a quick cure. Time restores a broken heart. Relationships are necessary in order for us to feel true love and care and support. And building relationships, well, it takes a lot of time to do that. But what does this song actually have to do with Psalm 121 this morning? What does the impact of loneliness on our decision-making have to do with Psalm 121? I believe there is one huge problem that we see in our world every single day. People tend to seek help in all the wrong places. I believe in some small way loneliness is a part of the motivation for this kind of help-seeking. I believe that we have a problem in our world. America is so focused on its self-worth. So often we wrap up a person's value in society on things like social influence. By the way, if that wasn't true, there would not be this job now called social influencer. I believe we rack up people's worth in things like their social influence, their popularity, their wealth, even their physical appearance. When a person is determined in society, or at least by those who society listens to, as being, you know, deficient in one or more categories, what happens to them? Well, society casts them aside. Once society casts that person aside, for even maybe the slightest of reasons, then where is that person going to turn for love, for support, for help? Whether we call it loneliness, or we call it depression, or we simply call it the complexities of our post-COVID world that we live in, our cracks and uncaring society, whatever the discouraging situation is, it's so often the impetus for people to choose their source of help, their source of love, their source of support in all the wrong places. They choose it carelessly. And just like the song said, they find themselves then in the wrong places. You see, folks turn to things like drugs, and sex, and money, and broken relationships, and abusive people, and a whole host of other really terrible places, instead of turning to Him who has proven Himself to be absolutely everything we could ever possibly need in every moment of our lives. In short, fear no hope is lost, folks tend to turn to the easiest source, no matter what the eventual consequences, that's not easy to say, might be. Just think, when we turn to God, though, as our helper, there's not even one ounce of concern to be had about where our help is coming. This love, this support, this relationship. We have no reason to be concerned about where it might end. Pastor Charles F. Stanley, who is a pastor of First Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, he writes this. He says, God never sleeps. He is on guard every moment of every day, watching over you with infinite care. So why worry? The omnipotent Lord of the universe has declared His unending love for you, and He will never fail in protecting you. Amen?
Amen?
So I want to propose a thesis for our time together today. Because God never ever fails us, we never ever need to consider any other source of help or love or support. His help is all sufficient. His love is always unceasing. It is unconditional. His support is derived from the most complete source of power ever known to exist. His mighty right hand lifts us up. I'm keeping all of that in mind. I want you to remember. The purpose that we're looking at these songs, right, is so that we can learn the songs that Jerusalem sang on their way home to Jerusalem, songs of ascent. They're songs which Israel sang as they make that journey down those dusty roads back to Jerusalem, to the temple, to worship God. The purpose of these hymns and these songs and these spiritual songs was to encourage them and their hearts. So as we continue our journey to Jerusalem, I think this happens. We find that Psalm 121 reminds us, and it reminds Israel that God is with us every step of the way. God is with us every step of the way, even if our foot should slip. You see, I need you to hear three good words of encouragement this morning. The first of those good words is this: God is with us. He has not left us. He will never leave us. There are two passages in Scripture that prove to us, remind us of this truth. Their truth is so applicable to this moment. God will never leave us. The first one is this: Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. The second verse that really convinces us that God is our helper is Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So let me ask you this. Is there any word that you see on that screen that isn't true? We trust every word that comes from God is true. So if we trust that God's word is infallible and it is true, that it will never fail us, then if God says to you, fear not, why are you afraid? And if God says to you, I will strengthen you, then why do you keep trying to do things on your own? And if God says to you, He promises to lift you up with His righteous right hand, why is it you try to lean on every other thing except for Him? Of course, the answer is sinfulness, right? The impact of sin on the human will. But just because we have a sin-stained view of God, the truth of God's word is not somehow diminished or voided. He remains true. So, Israel, walking along the dusty road to Jerusalem, they say these words with confidence to encourage their hearts. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. A little bit of cultural context for you today. When we read that Israel lifts up his eyes to the mountains, biblical scholars agree, and Hebrew language scholars agree, that they're not referring to mountains per se, like, you know, big, giant rock formations. In other words, they are singing about something other than a literal mountain. They're singing about high places. And high places in the ancient religions of the world were holy places. They were where nearly every religion in the world would go to worship God. They would have to go up to some higher place. These places were holier because they were higher. God is up there. The more we get up there, the closer we are to God. We talked about Jerusalem last week, about how no matter where you come from, you have to go up, right? When Israel lifted its eyes to the mountains, that means that they had in mind the temple. They're picturing the temple in their minds, the high place, the holy place where they're going to worship and meet with their God. And when they saw that mountain, they thought, there it is. That's where my help comes from, the maker of the heaven and the earth. Now, why is it that the sight of every mountain reminded them of the temple? Because there, in the temple is where the Lord lived. It wasn't that the temple was their helper, nor were they walking to Jerusalem to worship the temple. They were going there to meet the one who lives there, the maker of the heavens and the earth. I need to remind you of a critical, critical thing. That Israel is specific about who their helper is. He was the maker of heaven and earth. Because, as Paul reminded us in Romans 8, the people of this world, they put their hope and their trust and their power in so many other things and persons. The world has trust in angels and rulers and things of the present and things yet to come and powers of all different kinds. And so, all of these different things have come and gone and existed and ceased to exist. But the one thing that we trust has never ceased to exist and will never cease to exist. He has come and he remains. He is here. He is our helper. He knows the terrain we're walking. He knows the valleys. He knows the speed bumps in the road. He knows the potholes. He knows before we know. He's right there beside us walking. The Lord, Israel says, is the only true source of help. The Lord is the only true source of help. He even controls the sun and the moon. In 1965, since we're talking about songs from our past, in 1965, Paul McCartney and John Lennon wrote and released another hit song. This one they titled, very simply, Help. The song talks about a young man who never needed anyone or anything to help him, but something changed in his life really drastic, and now he recognizes he desperately needs somebody's help. Here's a few of the words from the song. It says, "And now my life has changed in oh so many ways. My independence seems to have vanished in the haze. But every now and then I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never done before." That could be about God. That could be about God. But listen to the chorus. It says, "Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being around. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me?" By the way, that could be about God too. Isn't that what help is all about? There's a cycle that unfolds. We need help. In order for someone to know that we needed help in the first place, we have to be willing to admit that we need help. But admitting our need for help requires us to accept the idea that we are not as capable as we'd like to believe we are. And so often we get caught up in this vicious web of refusing to admit the limitations we have and yet desperately needing help. I personally know this very well. Because a little over 3 years ago, my life changed radically. Most of you know the story, right? I fell, unfortunately, 13 feet onto a concrete floor. Among other injuries I sustained, I had a burst fracture in my L2 vertebrae. Now, if you fast forward to today, from that moment, I am not healed. But I am as healed as the doctors say I'm going to be. My body has limitations. But to even stand up here and say those words in front of you kills me. But it's true, right? I can't bend like I want to bend. I can't kneel and get up from the ground with ease. Sitting is often uncomfortable, and I am awoken every morning to sharp pain in my hip. And so Sarah always asks me if I'm okay. And you know what I say? I say yes. Okay. But I'm not. You know, Sarah asks me, "Do I need help reaching something on the floor, picking something up?" I say, "No." But I do. Sarah asks me if I'm doing too much. I say, "No." But I am. So am I lying to Sarah? Probably. But what's worse, folks, is I'm lying to myself. I want to believe that fall didn't impact me in such a way that I need to consider myself unable, incapable of doing things. But it did. And as a result of that, I need help. And in the same way that that loneliness or depression or being cast aside by society means the same thing to different people, we make irrational decisions in those moments when our capabilities are taken away from us. Our desire to be independent, to be self-sufficient, to be capable, it can overshadow our help or need. Or our need for help, whatever that is. But sometimes we try to pretend that we are all good, right? When the truth is, we're not all good. For Christians, I believe, for myself, I believe, that means you must become forgetful. You know, I wonder when these things happen if we hadn't lost sight of God's total and complete love for us, including his desire to bring us help. I wonder if we haven't lost sight of the simple fact that God is indeed in control of every moment, like it or not. You know, verses 5 and 6 of our text, I think, speak a harsh reminder to us. It says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade by your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. God is so gracious, so caring towards us that his caring for us, his help for us, his support for us is complete. And this passage proves it. When Israel walked to Jerusalem, let's think about the things that could have been a big problem for them. First and foremost, they could have slipped or fallen, right? And along this long, dusty road to Jerusalem, if you slip and fall, especially if you break maybe a foot or a leg, that journey could be, quite frankly, fatal. That's why Israel took such great comfort when God said he would not let their foot slip. And the sun burns, right? It can cause heat stroke and heat exhaustion. Even the darkness of the night can be a problem because if we don't have the moon to light the way, we could walk into a big hole. That's why Israel sins of God's promise to provide shade from the sun and moon from a light from the moon so that their path would be lit. I actually think, by the way, it was the Beatles who really said it the best for us, though. Remember they said, I feel so insecure. I know that I just need you like I've never needed you before. In the moment of my insecurity, I recognize, Lord, I need you. He knows. He knows how hard it is for us to accept help and to seek out that help. But he's standing right there, right beside us every step. There's a third and final reminder that we find in our text, Psalm 121 this morning. It says, the Lord watches over us. Even out here on this lonesome, long, dangerous road, he is our helper and he is our protector. I'm not going to beat this to death. I just want to give you one morsel to think about this week. Have you ever really considered what it means for God to protect you? What I mean is this. God's protection can come in so many different ways, so many different forms. Sometimes God protects us by steering us away from something or away from someone that might harm us. But other times, God's protection might look a lot more like, well, where is God? He doesn't even see you watching over us. We're in the middle of this terrible, terrible time. If God was protecting us, wouldn't he have moved us away from this? Listen, when I fell, I knew without a doubt that God had protected me. As I laid in that hospital bed, nurse after nurse remarked about this incredible fact that I didn't need one single band-aid. Not a scratch, not a drop of blood. Some people might suggest God didn't help me at all. He didn't help me. He didn't protect me because if he had, I wouldn't, you know, have this pain. I wouldn't even fall in the first place. But I'm standing here today as living proof that sometimes God's greatest protection over us is letting us fall. Because perhaps I've taken on too many responsibilities. Perhaps I've was too reluctant to ask for help. Perhaps I lost sight of my family. Perhaps I had begun to neglect my wife. Maybe all of these were true. Whatever it was, I needed some kind of a wake-up call. It was God's protection over my health, my family, my life, even maybe my career, that brought this fall into perspective for me and gave me the jarring that I needed to refocus my eyes back onto Him and Him alone. And so as a result, yes, I experience pain every day. But you know what else? I see my wife clearer than I've ever seen her before. I treasure my family moments more than I've ever treasured them before. I covet time together with you all more than I ever did before. I covet time with just the three of us, just the two of us. I strive for greater balance between work and home. And that has protected my marriage, it has protected my relationship with Ethan, and it has provided for a more robust relationship with my whole family. I am living proof that God helps us. Sometimes His protection is letting us fall. But that's how Psalm 121 impacted my journey. The question is, how does Psalm 121 impact your journey? Two key considerations for you today. Here's your application. I want you to notice just who it is that God says He keeps and protects. Israel, His people. You and me. The psalmist points in verse 4 to this. He says, the one who watches over Israel watches over you. The guardian of Israel is the guardian of every believer. So here's a hard question for us. If you feel like God is sort of missing something when it comes to His care over you, His protection over you, His watching over you, if you feel like God's distant from you, then I want you to ask yourself this. Am I truly His? Have I truly 100% completely given myself over to Him completely? Or am I still struggling in my own hope, in my own ability, my own strength, my own power? Here's the thing. There is no sort of with God. It is all or nothing. You are in or you are out. You can give Him everything He wants from you, or you can give Him nothing. But if you choose to give Him nothing, then never be surprised when you get in return. The second difficult thing we have to think about is that we've got to take notice of the complete nature of God's sovereignty. The Lord watches over every single activity of His people. You remember that part that says, I watch over your going out and coming in, right? So that means every moment of your life, God sees. There is good news in that, by the way. Because God isn't just interested in your life when you've fallen 13 or 14 feet through a ceiling. God cares about you and me every hour, every minute of every day. He cares when you wake up. He cares when you are sleeping. I once heard about Alexander the Great. You've heard about him before, right? Perhaps the greatest conqueror in Roman history, Alexander the Great. He told his troops this. He said, I wake up every morning so that you can go to sleep. Truth of that is that Alexander, he didn't wake up in the morning, he woke up in the evening because he volunteered to take a graveyard shift so his soldiers could sleep. God wakes up so you can go to sleep in peace. God wakes up so you can go to work in peace. God wakes up so that you can do everything you do in your life in peace, knowing where does my help come from? Comes from the Lord, the maker of the heaven and the earth. Here's what I hope you'll remember. If you forget everything else we talked about this morning, please remember this. God's got you. God's got you. Morning, noon, night, God is interested in you in the midst of your greatest battles. When you're standing here at the brink of destruction, God's got you. God has plans to prosper you and give you hope in your future every moment of every single day.
Amen.
He loves you. He wants to help you. Question is, can we get our sinful pride out of the way long enough to say, Lord, I need you? Amen?
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks that along the long, dusty road, you are our shade from the sun and you are our light from the path. And Lord, when we look up, we see the map of the high holy place, we can say, there. There he is, my helper, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Father, there is nothing we are capable outside of your help, your strength, and your power in our lives. Every ligament, every bone, every muscle moves in our bodies because you have made us able. So as Paul said, we are convinced that there is no power, no angels nor demons, nor things in the present or things in the future to come. There's no height, no depth. There is nothing in all of this world that can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus, because you love us. You are our helper and our protector. So, Father, keep our feet from stumbling and slipping and falling. Protect the path as we walk. Lord, we need you. Every moment of every single day. Thank you for being right beside us. We pray this in Jesus' name.